going to wind up this little series on working through prayer, cooperating with God, not in the planning, but in the outcome of His work. Fantastic privilege. Tonight we want to close the series by learning to pray from Daniel. And in Daniel 9, 3 and 4, Daniel says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." He understood something of God and emphasized that in his book. The book of Daniel presents an amazing demonstration of working by prayer. Daniel's experiences provide undoubted evidence of the importance of prayer. And this is the challenge to believers today. The secret of Daniel's success, really at every level, is clearly his life of prayer. It's not just that he asked for a prayer request and he got it, but that his life was dedicated to a pattern of prayer. His life was dominated by a sense of dependence. We see the character of his praying. First of all, his prayer practices. Daniel learned the value of a regular time and place for prayer. What happens when you do that, by the way, is that as you come to that place and time, there is something familiar about it, something deja vu about it, and you feel yourself getting into the pattern of prayer, the mode of prayer. If you just stop at any point in the day and pray, for me anyway, I've noticed that it takes me a while to get my heart and mind thinking. But at the time and place of prayer, just coming to that place and preparing to speak, it sets me up for that. He was systematic and methodical in his prayer life. We're going to look at Daniel 6:10 a couple of different ways here. But now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. This was the writing that said nobody can pray to any god except for the king. When he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And then it says, as he did aforetime. He didn't do this just to flaunt the law. See? You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to pray. I haven't prayed in a long time, but I'm going to pray now. He just said, this is what I do. This is my life. So he did that. Notice that Daniel prayed in the same place every time. One of his windows opened toward Jerusalem. This is where he prayed. When King Solomon dedicated the temple, he asked God for a favor. 1 Kings 8, 46 through 50. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, he understood the universality of sin, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart. He says this repentance will be something that they do with their whole heart. If this happens, with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. So you have the land, you have the city within that land, and you have the temple in the city. Then he says, if they do that, and Daniel is the example, they have been carried away into Babylon for their sins, and he seek by prayer, supplication, by fasting, sackcloth, ashes, making himself feel physically as uncomfortable as possible to reflect how dreadful his soul was in this thing. He says, I prayed and made my confession. So he then asks, then hear thou their prayer and give and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. You see, he was not saying my temple be anything special, but they will think upon this city and this temple, and they will wish they would be there to pray at this temple. And Lord, I'd like for that to be answered as if they were right here before your temple. The second thing we see is that Daniel prayed three times a day. I'm thinking he just put into practice the goal of King David. Psalm 55:17, David says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. It's not a bad idea to pick out times in the Jewish chronology. Evening came first, then morning, and then noon. And to think it through, what event can trigger your thinking, and you will go to prayer, see, and to have three times a day. Daniel was a very busy man. I mean, he was a government official and a wise man studying all these things. With his busy schedule, he must have been tempted to cut back on prayer, but he resolutely refused to let other duties rob him of his time with God. All right, the third thing that we see is that Daniel prayed with others, as we're doing tonight. In the book of Daniel, we find the first example of group prayer, Daniel 2, 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing, the need to understand the dream, to understand what the dream was and its interpretation, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And that sounds far more beautiful than the old Babylonian Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It's rough, guttural sounds. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. It just flows off the tongue. And his companions. And so he made the thing known to them that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that so that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So we see the character of his prayer. Most every day he prayed alone, but he was not averse to, and in fact pleaded with them to pray with him. Let's look at the prayer elements that we find Daniel's prayer was characterized by. Back to Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel, reverence, we see he prayed with reverence. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, He went into his house, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Notice, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. I'm not sure what the words are in the Hebrew, but in English you could have just said he kneeled. That pretty much means on your knees. But this is the physical action of humbling. This is what you do before the great master, the great king or something, you see. And this is why tossing off prayers can be good, but don't do that all the time. Learn to approach the God of heaven with reverence, the fear of the Lord. That's the very beginning of wisdom. Not only reverence, but earnest persistence. In verse 11, 6:11, then these men assembled, the enemies, and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I say earnest persistence because they saw him, once it had been known that the document had been signed, nobody can pray to anybody but the king, he left. They had time to gather their group together, organize the group, and then enter his home to arrest him. All this time he was praying. He didn't decide to make it just a quick prayer where he could say, "What? Praying? Oh no, I just dropped something. I was down on my knees picking that up." See? He was there, and he was there for a while. They had the lookout people looking up at that open window. They saw him kneel in prayer. They got their people together, and then they made the citizens arrest and entered his home. In Daniel 10, 2 and 3, he was really searching for God's answer. Is the time of the Babylonian captivity over? And so it says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, the type that Velma brings on Sunday morning, pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This is persistence. Earnest persistence. And he kept on calling, asking for God to answer his prayer. Another element of his prayer is thanksgiving. We ought not to forget this. I say often, there's an entire theology to the giving of thanks. You thank the one that you're recognizing is the one who did this. Again, back to Daniel 6:10, he opened the window toward the chamber, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. So praying is asking, the giving of thanks is recognizing that he has done many things worthy of thanks. And at a time when the penalty for doing what he was doing was to be thrown into the den of hungry lions, he can still give thanks to God. So we're taught the same thing today. Listen to Philippians 4:6. Be careful, be full of care for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I've told you the story about missing the flight back home when we were leaving for Christmas vacation, my brother-in-law Robert and I. And when we knelt to pray, I didn't know what to ask for. I didn't know enough about the situation to know what to ask for. So I began by thanking him for letting us miss this. And something happened in my brain. Just as I prayed thanking him, that acknowledged that he was in control. That meant that he could have kept it from happening. that he had a purpose in this. All of that, just by giving thanks. And all the panicky stuff just flowed out. And with great calm and common sense, we got up from the prayer and I said, this must happen 100 times a day, people missing their flight. And let's go ask them what happened. As you maybe remember, we went up there and I said, we missed our flight, and I was ready for some big explanation. And he says, okay, well, the next one is such and such, and here's your new ticket stuff. So wasn't a big deal. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, pray without ceasing, which doesn't mean with never stopping. It just means don't come to a place, a time in your life where you stop praying. In everything, give thanks. It's easy to give thanks for the happy times, happy, happy, happy. But he says everything. That means even the tough times. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So learn to give thanks. Then there's a spirit of confession in his prayer. Daniel 9:20, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. This is when the angel came. I thought it was interesting, Nancy's song, A Sinner Like Me, Alexander White, born in 1836, died in 1921, when my mother was a year old. A Scottish preacher, he once told a small crowd, can you imagine like talking to this group, and if I had said, I found out the most sinful man in Indianapolis or Speedway, and I've come to tell you about him. Everybody going, oh my goodness. And then he leaned forward and whispered, his name is Alexander White himself. If you don't recognize, my dad made an interesting confession of sin. We were talking the other morning, and he was making a point about this. He says, I've done the wrong things. He says, I've sinned, made bad judgment calls and all this. But he said, but it was never a sin against our family. I was telling him how much I appreciated him, and that he had taught me in practical ways what the meaning of love was. Dedication, never giving up, never forgetting your family. And he said, you build it within me. So a spirit of confession. Don't come with a spirit of arrogance before God. He knows too much. And come with a spirit of confession. But then also, we find a spirit of expectancy in his prayer. I see this because when Daniel comes before King Nebuchadnezzar and hears this whole deal, Daniel told him that he would make known the dream and its interpretation before he had ever taken it to God, before he had ever got the answer. He wasn't standing there with the answer. He said, give me tonight, and tomorrow I'll give you the answer. That means when he went to God in prayer, he was expecting an answer, and basing his entire life on it. So he had every reason to believe it, but he did pray with the expectation. The old story about the people that came to pray for rain, only one person brought an umbrella, expectation. Then third thing about his prayer is the prayer basis. And remember that Solomon had prayed that any who pray toward the temple would have their prayers answered by the Lord. Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem because he was biblical. He wasn't making this up as he went. He was basing it squarely on the scripture. Notice also Daniel 9:1-2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You see, he wasn't just a person who prayed. He was a person who studied the Bible and then prayed about those things, you see. What was the basis of his prayer? It wasn't just believing, belief. It was believing what God said. It was understanding what God said and then going to God in prayer about what God said. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. This isn't talking about God hearing as in the sense that God knows everything. This is talking about God giving us a hearing, you see. And so if this prayer request is according to his will, then he entertains, he gives us a hearing for that. And John says, here's the guarantee. If he gives you the hearing, you've got it. Whatsoever you ask. Well, then let's look in closing at, two things here. The cost of his praying. We see, first of all, personal purity. He started this at the beginning when he was a young man in Babylon. He determined not to defile himself, but with wrong food choices. God had told him at that time what foods to eat, what foods not to eat. And he wasn't going to leave that to the choice of the king, a pagan man who didn't know what God wanted and therefore didn't know what was good or bad in food. So he determined not to defile himself. He wanted to stay pure. So that cost him something. And then official faithfulness. In his work as an official in more than one government, Daniel was found exemplary. He wasn't a sloppy businessman. Daniel 6:4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. How disturbing to people that wanted to dig up dirt. So he lived a life beyond reproach. But then allegiance to God. You remember that whole story where they said you can't pray to anybody but the king. The very reason he was sentenced to the lion's den was that he would not compromise his allegiance with God. So he said, this is who I am. This is what I do. If I can't do this, I might as well be dead. And then the third and final thing, the consequences of his praying, three things. Personal deliverance. He delivered himself and his friends along with the rest of the unbelieving wise men when he received the dream and the interpretation of it. He was delivered from the mouths of the lions when he was punished for faithful praying. Consequences of his prayer, personal deliverance. Divine revelations. Daniel was given revelations that still thrill and challenge our understanding today. Daniel 9:22, and he, the angel, informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth from heaven to give thee skill and understanding. He learned things nobody else in the world knew, you see. And then angel activity. He got angels busy. Daniel's prayer set the angelic world into motion. God sent them into motion, but he was answering Daniel's prayer. Daniel 9:22-23. He informed me, talked with me, said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment from God came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. God put a fire under the angels. because Daniel was asking. So my point here tonight is, let us learn from Daniel and give ourselves to consistent, faithful prayer. Comments, questions?